When a girl goes through puberty, lots of changes happen in different parts of her body. And the vulva might change colour or become more prominent, or there might not be much outward change at all except for new hair growth. But some girls might be uncertain or worried about how they look. And there's a huge variety in how human bodies look, including vulvas, but often there are only very narrow, stereotypical images of the vulva that girls can access to compare, even in textbooks. Some teens, more and more now, are asking for cosmetic surgery to achieve this mythical, idealised vulva. Dr. Gemma Sharp is a senior research fellow in psychiatry at Monash University, and she's helped make a video to tackle this. Gemma, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Let's play a little snippet of that video for our listeners.
What does a normal vulva look like? No two vulvas look alike, and there is great variation in how they can look. There are vulvas with different labial length, width, colour, symmetry, and texture. And during puberty, these changes become more apparent as labial tissue naturally grows during that period of time.
Now, Gemma, you've been researching the attitudes of young women and girls to their genitalia for some time. How are young people feeling about these parts of their bodies?
They're very embarrassed about them, generally speaking. It's still considered such a taboo to even speak about them, let alone run an entire study on it. So I think it's a really critical area of research, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Well, do we know why there's been a rise in dissatisfaction with female genitalia among younger women?
I think there's a couple of different factors going on. I think probably the most obvious one that people would think of is that we're removing our pubic hair more and more, and that's something that we didn't used to do in the past. And that's meant that we can actually look at our vulvas more closely than ever before and potentially become dissatisfied with how they look. But also there are some fashion trends too. We're wearing more sheer fashions like tight swimwear, active wear. And so if there's any lumps and bumps in that region, it's really obvious. And so I think while women have never probably been particularly comfortable with their genital regions owing to this taboo, I think it's become more of an issue of late owing to sociocultural factors.
There's also, I guess, people might leap to the idea that images are being shared amongst younger people and that maybe those images aren't representative. What's your finding there?
That's absolutely right. So in Australia, as well as some other countries, we actually have censorship rules that mean protruding labia minora is considered too obscene to show to people under the age of 15.
Really?
And so, absolutely. And so what that means is the labia minora is sometimes airbrushed out of these photos. And so it gives us an unrealistic perception of how labia minora are meant to look, basically invisible. And so if you want to see real labia minora, you unfortunately have to look at hardcore pornography, which we know isn't generally consumed by women and certainly not younger women. And so it means that there's a real, I suppose, skew in how normal genitalia are portrayed in the media.
And so is that myth not being countered by biology textbooks or medical literature that young girls and young women might encounter?
Do you know, the surprising thing is that biology textbooks seem to conform to this idealised labia minora or vulva look as well, and we're not sure why that is. So even in our anatomy textbooks, it's still this idealised look, and so there really is, I suppose, not that many resources where young girls and women can look to find out the wide diversity of normal labial appearance. And I think that's why our study and resources like the Labia Library are so important to get that message out there.
Yep. Anyone who's ever visited Mona during that exhibition of many, many sculptures of vulvas will just remember the powerful sense that there's this huge diversity. Gemma, let's talk a little bit about where this is leading, because you've seen a rise in interest in genital cosmetic surgery or labiaplasty. How big a problem is this for young girls?
Well, we're seeing girls as young as 9 requesting the surgery, which is really shocking. And my own research has shown that these genital appearance concerns start around age 13. And girls younger than 18 are undergoing labiaplasty, which is a real concern because there are some really serious side effects to this surgery, like scarring, loss of sensation, bleeding, painful sex. All these things can happen if you have that surgery. And you can imagine if you have that as a young girl, that really is going to mess up your sexual health for the rest of your life. And so that's really concerning. But I suppose in addition to requests for cosmetic genital surgery, if you have concerns about your genital appearance, it affects your broader health as well. So it means that you're less likely to undergo routine gynecological checks like pap smears. You're also more likely to undergo risky sexual behaviours like unprotected sex, which means you can get STIs, etc., and also just have a less satisfying sex life. So these genital appearance concerns can have such broad ramifications, and I think it's so important that we address them early on.
Let's hear from someone who's seen the video that you made, Gemma. Angelique Argyros is 19, and she says that she personally understands that vulvas come in all shapes and sizes, but she says body image issues around genitalia are a concern for her friends.
About a year ago, I had a conversation with a couple of my girlfriends, and some of them mentioned they were interested in getting labiaplasty. That was when I realised it was more of a serious problem or issue than I had thought. They didn't feel comfortable with the way their labia minora looked, and they felt as if boys their age were going to judge them for it. Boys tend to find pornography at a young age, and they tend to be involved in bullying and harassment against girls their age because the girls they see in these adult videos may look nothing like the girls they go to school with.
Dr. Gemma Sharp, what is the problem here? Is it girls' perceptions of their genitalia or boys' assumptions about what they should look like if they're having heterosexual relationships and that relationship with pornography? Do we need to tackle that pressure from that side as well?
I think it's all of the above, and that is absolutely our intention, that we show, we've already shown that our video works in 16 to 18 year old girls really effectively. And so we're shifting to 13 to 15 year olds, but ultimately this video will go into sexual health classes involving all genders. We want boys, girls and everything in between to be as aware of the natural diversity in genital anatomy as possible. And what Angelique said was absolutely right, that boys and men making comments about their partner's genitalia is a strong trigger for women to request labiaplasty and also be dissatisfied with their genitals in general.
I imagine there's a fair diversity of comfort levels in parents around the idea of their children seeing this video, particularly if you lower the age from 13 to 15. What have you encountered in terms of parental attitudes?
I think, I suppose we always pitch the study as we know that this is an embarrassing topic for parents and guardians. And so why not let the experts do the education? Let us take that pressure off you, because we know that this video works and we have made the video for young people in mind. It's all cartoon and artistic images. There are no realistic depictions of genitalia in it. And our feedback from the young girls was actually that they found it very educational, not at all embarrassing, and useful. They found it useful. So I think the girls are receiving it very well, and we would encourage all parents of 13 to 15-year-old girls to let us educate their young daughters for 2 minutes. That's how long the video takes. What have you got to lose? It's only 2 minutes and it's not going to cause any harm.
I do love the use of cupcakes, and in particular the use of glossé cherries to represent various parts of the female anatomy.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful thing. Here's Angelique Argyros again. She's very keen to see this issue dealt with, but here are her thoughts on what age might be appropriate for seeing this video.
I do think there is a fine line of what ages are appropriate and what are not. I personally think that primary school is too young to be speaking about such issues, as I remember in primary school how innocent, shy, giggly and embarrassed my friends and I were when we were in sex ed and being taught about contraceptive methods.
Gemma Sharp, what do you say to the argument that some parents might have that showing very young girls this video might prompt concerns about their body when they might not really have thought about it before?
I think it's a valid point, but we do have a lot of research to show that our body image studies don't prompt body image concerns. In fact, they just help girls express concerns they're already thinking about. And I think, as Angelique pointed out there, they were giggly, they were embarrassed. And so it shows they were already feeling like that. So I think we need to talk with girls and boys before that embarrassment kicks in, to kind of normalize these conversations. And I think with our study, with them being 13, we're pitching at that high school age, but ultimately we'd want to go younger, because I think girls and boys are very aware that they have different genitalia from a young age. And I think if we have those conversations as soon as they start talking about it in an open and honest way, then they're not going to be giggly and or less likely to be giggly and embarrassed in those sex ed classes. I think what Angelique also mentioned was that doing it with her peers and being in a classroom setting was potentially an issue. And I think what our study does well is that it's an individual exercise. It's delivered online, so girls can do it in the privacy of their own homes, and be less likely to be embarrassed. And I think the delivery method is really important.
When you talked about having those discussions, I actually had a really frank discussion with my 5-year-old son last night.
Excellent.
It was fantastic, but, you know, it progressed into some very detailed territory, and it, you know, it started around bath time and bodies and progressed to how, you know, boys and girls are different. And we've had a series of discussions about bodies and how babies are made already. But I guess what came up for me during that was, it was great that he wasn't embarrassed. He was just curious the way he is about bugs or clouds or whatever. But I wondered how that might be received if he started talking about that stuff at school.
And I think that's a really good point that you raise. And I think it's really more about the adults feeling embarrassed than the kids. And I think if we upskill our educators as well as our young people to have these conversations, then that embarrassment just decreases radically. So I hope that we have a generation just like your son of curious kids who can talk about these issues openly and honestly, because that is how we're going to break down the shame and stigma around these perfectly normal body parts.
And also, cupcakes should be mandatory. Dr. Jenny,
I agree.
Thanks so much for chatting with us today. It's really great to be able to have these discussions on Life Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Dr. Gemma Sharp, Senior Research Fellow in Psychiatry at Monash University. The video is not publicly available, but there is a link to that research on the Life Matters homepage.